You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
It's this time of transition where God's people are relating to God now in a new way, but it's a way that's been promised from old. And so now they're just experiencing it. So I want us to just understand that that's the context. The context always is this has been a promise that we would relate to God not through the doing of things, the keeping of the minutiae being, but that he would come inside of us, that we would have simple belief in Jesus, in God's Son.
Back in the Old Testament days, folks didn't really have the chance to hang out in God's presence. All they needed to do was stick to the steps to be in good standing with God. Have you ever thought about what changed for you? Today, Pastor Bo shares how Jesus has paved the path for you to draw nearer to God. Thanks to him, you now have the opportunity to connect with God. Salvation opens the door for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, working both in and through your life. Isn't that just incredible? Now here's Pastor Bo as he begins his message, The Promised Holy Spirit.
Please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Book of Acts, chapter 19. I'm not going to be able to cover all of Acts 19 today. I want to draw your attention today to Acts 19, and I've got some issues, some work to do in front of me. I want to begin in reading Acts 19. I'm going to read verses, 1 through, let's go through to verse 10. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version of Acts 19. It says in verse 1, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country, and he came to Ephesus. And it's there in Ephesus that he found," notice these two words, it says, "some disciples," okay? "And he said to those some disciples," to them, quote, so he must have picked up on something. Why would he say this? "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said back, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So he said, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" Another question from Paul. Hey, how'd you like to be questioned by Paul about your spiritual life, your spiritual experience? You bump into Paul the Apostle. I think that's pretty wild. He just starts asking you questions. You're like, ugh. And so they said, "Well, we were baptized into John's baptism." And Paul said, "Well, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, Paul's little explanation there, they were baptized in the name, or into the name, of the Lord Jesus, Kyrios, Jesus. And then it says in verse 6, "And Paul, the apostle, laid his hands on them." And it says, the Holy Spirit then, here's another one of these events in the book of Acts. I believe this is the third time that we see this happening on a group of people who were not at Pentecost necessarily. So you got other groups of people of different backgrounds and this same event happening, but not always in the same sequence. But the same event as far as hands being laid on them or Holy Spirit being poured out on them, speaking in tongues and prophesying, but not always exactly in the same order, but all the same things happen at all the events. The Holy Spirit came on them after he laid his hands on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And then verse 8 says, he entered the synagogue for 3 months and he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. We've been here before. But when some became stubborn there in the synagogue, continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, Paul then withdrew. He separates himself from them and he takes with him those who had come to faith in Christ because of his ministry at the synagogue during that time, the disciples with him. And where did he go? What did he do from there? He starts reasoning every day in the public marketplace, in the hall of Tyrannus. And verse 10 says, this continued. How long was Paul doing this? Yeah, for 2 years. And then it says, so that all the residents of, this is an incredible statement, for Asia, of Asia, heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So those disciples that Paul must have been teaching, ministering to, expounding the scriptures, the word to, for those 2 years, were also going out and spreading the message of the gospel, spreading the message of Jesus Christ throughout that area so that Luke could effectively write that statement under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that during that time, that 2 year period, all of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. That excites me just to think about our own community. Doesn't that you? I mean, don't you read into the text your own life, your own situation? Surely, I like to think of it like that too. Like, wow, if Paul was able to do that, notice he didn't do some sort of big events or anything like that. It was just the every day, a couple hours a day in the afternoon, he would expound the word of God every single day. To be honest, if we trace through history, that's how a lot of revivals have happened. That's how a lot of spiritual awakenings have happened, is someone has stood and expounded the scriptures. And as people heard the word of God clearly explained and applied, they understood it. And therefore, then they shared it, because that's that motivator. Once you understand God and his ways and his word, it's very natural then to want to go then and communicate that to somebody else in your life. And so the word of God spreads and disciples end up making disciples. And that's how, hey, heads up, spoiler alert, that's still the plan. That's still the plan. It's just the preaching of the word of God, the expounding of it, people, disciples understanding that word who have been converted. So first there's that, the preaching of the word, then the conversion of people. They come to Christ, then they understand the word, they grow in the word, and then they go and they share that word. They share that message. That is still the way God advances his kingdom on planet Earth. It is still how, if we would love to pray and work toward and see a great awakening again in our country, that is what you're going to find at the epicenter of it, is you're going to find faithful teaching and preaching of the word of God. You're going to find prayer, but you're going to find also just this very simple, what I now understand, I take it out into the world, into the community, and I communicate it in such a way that is persuasive with an expectation that they are to be held accountable to what I'm communicating, because it's God's truth. It's God's word. It's authoritative. So I am expecting that as I share it and I communicate it, that there is to be a response to it. And some, the response will be not to believe. And some, the response will be to be converted, to give their surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. And so that's still how God expands his kingdom on planet Earth. Now, he first started off my week in studying this chapter to share with you today around a topic. The topic was the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's where I started doing all my work, and I'm very aware of the debates and controversy that exists at a very high level between denominations, Christians, between Christian denominations in our country and in our world around these specifically seven verses, the first seven verses of Acts 19. So I'm aware of that, and we've read it and studied it once or twice already in the last few weeks, so I didn't know that I was to develop a whole message about it. I just did some diligence with it. I built out some preparation work to share with you, and then to be honest, I moved into the rest of the chapter and started to develop a message for the rest of the chapter. I did that, got up early, and was still working on that. I have 10 pages. I have 15 slides of a message I was going to share with you. And I just felt, you know what? I'm going to back this train up. And I'm going to go back to where I started this week. And if you're okay with it, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to bring it. A message about the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit. That is a topic that is in this passage, highly controversial, but I have convictions about it. And I want to bring them out from the Word of God. They're not my convictions. They've been poured into me through the years, through the Scriptures. Some of it, you'll hear me say things and it'll sound charismatic. And then some of the things you might hear me say, I'll give the other side. And you might say, is he Reformed or Baptist or what's going on there? And so there's that. I am going to try to show you both sides, and I want to just be transparent with you about where I personally land. And so for whatever that's worth, you are fully capable of studying this passage yourself as well and having your leanings. I'll just give you mine as we move through it. Is that okay? Okay. So what I want to just say up front here is I began most of my study material that I use to develop my messages are all sort of linked to the King James Version. All my lexicons, all that I use for language study is linked to the King James because the King James has been around the longest. 1611, very good set of translators or scholars translated the King James Version. When you read the first few verses of the King James, here's what it sounds like. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, verse 2, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost? What does it say? I don't know if you have a King James or if you want to look it up. It says the next word after Holy Ghost in the King James is the word since. So most charismatic teaching on the Holy Spirit hinges a lot as far as what they believe and teach about a second experience subsequent to salvation. So you're saved, they would say, and the Spirit of God, yes, comes in you at salvation, but you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They might use that language. The coming upon of the Holy Spirit in your life has not yet happened. So they would teach that you can believe in Jesus Christ and be saved, but yet not have experienced this other experience with the Holy Spirit. And it's because of that word right there, since. So they build out a whole teaching that's saying, so you were saved, but since you were saved, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? In the Greek, the word that's used in the original language is not just for the word since. In the Greek text, it's one Greek word that when it's translated, can be translated into those three words, since ye believed, or what I just read to you in the ESV, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The Greek word, the bulk and thrust of the Greek word has nothing to do with since or when. It has to do with the word believe. So that's why it can be since or when. Sort of translator preference there. It can be either one. It can be translated since he believed, and it can be translated when you believed, because it just can be. As far as the original language, it can be one or the other when you do it, which bring it over into English. Okay. But what I want to talk to you about is, regardless of what side you might be on whether or not there is, Paul said, we know in Ephesians 5, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we know that. That's clear. That even though when we are saved, there is the continual need to be filled, regardless of what side of the discussion you're on. It is my conviction that there is more to the Christian life and experience than just a sort of a dead orthodoxy. Like, I have such a built-out, well-defined doctrine on the Holy Spirit that I don't even know the Spirit, that I don't really have an openness and a dependency upon the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you today, the Holy Spirit of God is real and that he wants to fill you. For what purposes? A lot. Brings joy. Watch these things as we go through. I want to try to share them with you. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a promise that was promised. And that's what we're seeing there. What we're seeing there in Acts 19 is the continual fulfillment of what had been promised in the Old Testament, that there would come a day when the way that God relates to you and I and the way that our relationship works with Him would not be just of keeping of the law, but it would be of a work of the Spirit in the heart of God's people. So that is what is happening in Acts 19 and all throughout the book of Acts, is the relationship. It's this time of transition where God's people are relating to God now in a new way, but it's a way that's been promised from old. And so now they're just experiencing it. So I want us to just understand that that's the context. The context always is, this has been a promise that we would relate to God, not through the doing of things, the keeping of the minutiae being, but that He would come inside of us, that we would have simple belief in Jesus, in God's Son, and His Holy Spirit would come and then renew us, regenerate us, make us born again, is where that term comes from John's gospel. When Jesus and Nicodemus are talking, he's talking about, no, you were born once, Nicodemus, and he was a scholar. And Nicodemus is like, and I've got to be born again. Like, I've got to get back in my mother's womb. What are you talking about? And he's like, no, it's of the Spirit. Your insides have to be born again. And so he was learning right there in that conversation with the King of Glory, this new way of the Spirit. 1 Samuel 10, verse 6, I want to read it to you. It says this. We talk about the promised outpouring. Here's some references. Here's a little spot in the Old Testament where we see it on display, this internal relationship. Then the Spirit of the Lord, saying to Saul, will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. That is a wonderful thing. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, a man or a woman, and they end up being so emboldened that they speak and teach and just declare the goodness of God, the truth of God. They prophesy. That's what that is. They just start speaking forth, speaking out the truth about God, about His word. And now in that case, you've got Saul, and it says there that he's, when the Spirit of God comes upon him, he's going to be turned into another man. And I like bringing that up because that's what needs to happen in your life. That's what needs to happen in my life. I need the Spirit of God to come upon me all the time and making me into another man. And that man would be more like Jesus Christ. The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, the pneuma, the breath, the sacred breath of God, also can be translated blast, the sacred blast, the holy sacred blast or breath, or pneuma is the Greek word of God. When He comes into or upon a person, there's change. Now, come on. You need to change. I need to change. I said you need to change. I need to change. I mean that in a Christ-exalting way. I mean that in a way that is dependent on the Spirit to cultivate that change, to change me, to make me more like Jesus Christ. This is what we live for. This is what it's about, the Christian experience. This is why I don't agree that Christianity in its fullest expression is just a teaching religion. It is heavily a teaching and preaching and proclamation-oriented faith system, if you could call it that. Absolutely. Teaching and preaching is at its helm. That is a central part of the Christian faith, is the proclamation of the Word of God. But it is not only that. In other words, you don't just come and hear me teach and experience God's presence and power as a result of me teaching and preaching the Word of God to you only. You have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your own life, which gives you the ability to change, to become a different person, and that person being shaped more and more like Christ. And so what we do here is we sort of open up the Bible together and we sort of meet Christ together in the Word. And the Spirit is changing you and the Spirit is changing me as we do that together. This is why I'm not all the way over there, that everything about the Spirit and the life of the believer in the church and all that revolves around, you'll hear that if you studied it more and you spend some time. Christianity is reduced almost down to just this teaching ministry. Teaching, very orthodox, teaching. That is absolutely a part of the Christian faith. But that's not the only way that we are impacted by the truth of our faith. It is also through a personal invasion, infusion, application of the truth of God's word, who is already in you, making this word alive in you and shaping you and transforming you into the man or the woman that God wants you to be. So all of us are not where we ought to be yet, or where God is taking us. It's another way I could say that, right? We're not. We're all where we are right now, and that's okay. But it's not okay if we're still there a little while from now. It's not. There is to be change in you and in me. If it's always the same old in my Christian experience, that's not Christianity. I can advocate for that. It'd take me a long time to build it out on a thesis. I could do it, though. I'm telling you, I could do it. Christianity is not just cruising, coasting. No, it is progression in your sanctification. There is to be continual renewal work in you and in me. You keep reading Acts 19. Did you read Acts 19? So you see in Acts 19 a spiritual awakening that happened in Ephesus. And that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. You've got all those people there, pagan city. Paul just preaches the message over and over and over again. Those disciples are going out. That city's being reached through the word of God. It's always the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Verse 10, verse 20, it's the word that's doing it. And what do you see happen? All those people repent and confess openly all their wickedness, all their sins, sorcery, things of the occult, all these practices that were evil, contrary to what would be pleasing to God. And they bring all that, and they start all those books of sorcery and magic and all that, and they start getting rid of it, burning it. That's awesome, right? Because that's a radical break from what they used to be. And they're realizing now, the Spirit of God has invaded my life and has changed me. And I am here to tell you today, if this is my one contribution, I'm fine with it. The Spirit of God is the answer for all of the obstacles we are up against today in the church being able to be fruitful in this world. The Spirit of God is your answer for all that you need to make your Christian experience alive, active, real, and dynamic, and at work in this life while you're here. You want to be open to, leaning into, talking to, asking help from, studying the word about the Holy Spirit. You want to be open to him, and you want his leadership. You want his influence. And I have gone like this on this. I came from this, and then I learned about all these others' interpretations about it. And so that's what I've been doing for a few years. And so I was like, really? Okay. Oh, wow. I never knew that. I was learning. And now I'm like, kind of coming back to center here, going, wait a second. I'm not over there. I recognize that God is God.
If you're enjoying this edition of Truth That Transforms, we'd like you to share it with friends and family. Pastor Bo's messages can be found on our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. But you can also subscribe, like, and share these via podcast. When you subscribe, you'll always be alerted when new content is made available. It's easy, accessible, and convenient to share with those you know. Again, make sure to subscribe. Truth That Transforms is based out of Melbourne, Florida. If you're ever in the area for work or vacation, we'd love for you to join us for community and fellowship. We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. Pastor Bo has more to share at that time, and it would be such a blessing to hear about your story and get to know you, helping get you connected. If you have children, we have opportunities for them as well. There's a youth midweek service at 6:30 on Wednesdays. Get them involved and plugged in too. To learn more about our ministry and who we are, we invite you to go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Pastor Bo will be back again next time, reinforcing more truths about God and how our relationship with him and his word is of utmost importance in impacting those we relate to in the world. Perspective is key, right? If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 321-676-8992. That's 321-676-8992. Thanks for listening to this edition, and come back for more from Truth That Transforms.
Promised land, but he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. By and by, temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares. Hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.